All right, we're going to open this lesson with a prayer. But before we pray, I want to give you the opportunity to confess your sins. Now, we'll explain later on why that is essential, and we'll get into details on confession. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So we want to take just a moment or two and give you a little privacy and a little silence, a little quiet, so that you can confess your own sins to God. And later on, you'll understand the impact of that more completely. But for now, let's just take time to confess our sins, and then we'll have a short prayer and proceed with lesson 3. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word. We pray that you take the lesson that we have for this morning and that you would make it clear to us, and let your Holy Spirit do his teaching ministry in us so that we can actually learn what is here and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This is lesson 3 of Lessons for the Breakfast Table. The title of this lesson is God is the Creator. Now, this is contrasted with the concept that nothing created everything. You see, science says that all that we see came out of nothing. And, of course, they say that theirs is not a position of faith, but of science. But we know that there is a position in regard to creation that is not logical. And that is that nothing made everything. And that absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. But I don't want to get into an attempt to discount science or disprove what science says. What I want to do is just see what the Bible says. I don't want to get into argumentation about externals. I just want to deal with the Bible itself. The assumption is that God exists. We believe that. I don't think you would be listening to this if you didn't believe that God exists. So, with that assumption, we can go forward with a discussion of what the Bible says about God as the Creator. Now, we don't know what existed before God created the world, but we know that God was there, because without God, nothing would exist. An existence without a Creator makes no sense whatsoever, as there would be no original cause or pre-existent force. It's totally illogical to think that all this would come into existence without a pre-existent force being there, some kind of divine entity or some kind of intelligence that existed prior to that. And of course, as we have become believers and understand the reality of God, we know that that intelligence is the Almighty God. The last book in the Bible, just like the first, makes it clear who the Creator is. "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." That's from Revelation 4:11. We cannot escape the truth that God made all things. Hebrews 11:3 says this, "By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." The psalmist also extolled God's creative work, saying, "How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures." That's what we see in Psalm 104, verse 24. And Hebrews 3, verse 4b concludes that God is the builder of everything. So creation is not an accident. Creation is the deliberate construction of reality as conceived, designed, and formed by God. This is confirmed in Psalm 102:25, which says, "In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." And we see this again and again. For example, Psalm 100, verse 3. "Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His." And again in Isaiah 64, 8b, "We are all the work of your hand." Now, you get into the idea of, or the question of, why God created us. God created us for eternal life and for fellowship with Him. This is what we see in 2 Corinthians 5, 4b through 5, which says the following. "That is why He made us. We do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling." That's our resurrection body. "So that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life," meaning eternal life. Now it is God who made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Now later we're going to discuss the process for receiving this eternal life. But for now we acknowledge that He created us for Himself. God also created us for holiness, or to live in ways that reflect holy behavior. This is given in Ephesians 2:10, and which says this, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." Now this is rich soil right here for future studies. The idea that there are conditions under which, and this is what we're going to see fully later on, there are conditions under which we can perform good works. And we're going to be exploring this concept very thoroughly and others connected with it in considerable depth. Now, God also created us to, and I'm fixing to get into deep water and I'm going to come right back out because we don't have time to really explore this, but He also created us to demonstrate His grace for us in the view of onlooking angels, and to refute Satan's charges against God. Now, He made us also to prove to Satan that his condemnation is justified. And this is a little known concept known as the angelic conflict, and we're not going to discuss it today. But at some point, we will get further into that concept. And the part that we don't cover in this series, we will have recommendations for sources where you can get a thorough discussion of that. So God created us because angels are watching us, and we demonstrate through our decisions the effectiveness and the reality of God's grace. Now, creation is calling to us. It beckons us to embrace our Creator and to honor and to recognize Him. Revelation 14:7 urges us to fear God and give Him glory because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. When we look at creation all around us, we cannot deny the Creator. If we look at creation and we don't see God, we are blind. Romans 1:19 through 20 confirms this. since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So when we see creation and we deny God, there is no way that we can justify that position, because God is clearly evident, and it says even his eternal power and divine nature can be seen in creation. There's another part of us that is aware of God, and I just want to mention this. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us that God places a curiosity about the eternal, a longing for God within every human being. So inside of us and outside, we see and sense God. Now, when these things speak to us, when we look at creation and we see God, or when we look within ourselves and we have an awareness of God, when these speak to us, we must listen. And that's the point we want to make. We must listen, because God is the Creator. All right, we have some questions following this lesson. We have four questions. Number one, what existed before creation? And I will give you a hint that nothing is not the right answer. Number two, why did God make us? Number three, what is the evidence for a creator? And number four, do you believe that God created the universe and all that is in it? We also added some scriptures at the end of the lesson, and I want to read these. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." Isaiah 43:7, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." And Jeremiah 27:5, "With my great power and outstretched arm, I made the earth and its people and the animals that are on it, and I give it to anyone I please." All right, the conclusion is this: God is the creator of all that exists. How can we ignore such a great God as this? How can we take one step without wanting him there with us? Now, I wanted to say just a brief word about what's coming up. We're going to have six more lessons about God. These are more or less theological studies. And then we're going to move into areas that deal with concrete steps that we can take in living the life that is true life, that is real life. And then after we finish that, then we will get into things that are, after we finish the lessons on God, we'll get into things that are pragmatic and that actually deal with living. Because after all, the title of the course is Bible Basics for Living. So we do want to get more practical. So we can look forward to lessons in the future that will be more concrete and more in line with your concern for your own personal life and your own personal walk with Him. Father, we thank you for this lesson. We pray that it will be clear in the minds of the listeners, and that you will give them grace to apply it to their lives as we begin to inch forward into the things you want us to understand for our living. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.